We're still talking about Tariq al-Andalus and the forgotten history of al-Andalus. And last time, about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the golden era, Khilafah al-Umayya in al-Andalus. And we talked about Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir and how he ruled and how he took al-Andalus to completely a different level, and how he ruled from 300 Hijri to 350 Hijri. And then when he died at the age of 72, he left his child or his son behind him or after him to take over. And that was al-Hakam bin Abd al-Rahman bin al-Nasir. And we said he was just like his father. He was involved in everything, and involved in da'wah to Allah Azza wa Jal, involved in jihad, involved in ilm, involved in spreading the deen of Allah and the shar' of Allah. And he ruled from 350 to 366. But there is no perfect man in this world, and there is no one who will not make mistakes. Al-Hakam bin Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, as much as great he was, or as great of a ruler he was, he made one big mistake. And that is, he left behind him his son, Hisham ibn al-Hakam, to be the next ruler. And Hisham ibn al-Hakam was only 12 years old. He was only 12 years old. And obviously, a big state like al-Andalus, a 12-year-old, even if it's small, even if it's a street, a 12-year-old most probably cannot manage to rule. So as a result, they had to establish Majlis Wasaya. Majlis Wasaya on this young boy, Hisham ibn al-Hakam. This name is important. يعني, he will be useless. But as we will see, the events will be surrounding him. He will be, his name will be mentioned frequently. So when his father died because of al-Falij, حفظكم الله, هو الشلل يعني, paralysis, he lifted to his young son, 12 years old, okay, this Hisham. So as a result, they had to establish, as I said, trustee council, which will include Qaid al-Shurta. Perhaps today that could be or represent the Minister of Interior, Wizarat al-Dakhiliya. Wal-Hajib, الحاجب هو رئيس الوزراء, the prime minister, and أمه, and his mother. So those, or this, هذا amplifier ولا قنبلة؟ خوفني يا زلمة. طيب, I'll take it easy on my voice for a second. How long you need to يلا ان شاء الله, ان شاء الله we continue, ان شاء الله متجايب الباور لين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, الحمد لله رب العالمين, الصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we continue ان شاء الله. So Hisham ibn al-Hakam ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir became the ruler over al-Andalus at the age of 12. And we said, I can't go any further than that, Habib. I got 5 lectures coming up in the next 2 days. He, come closer. Inshallah, the brothers who can't hear, come closer. هذه هي السنه. No, you get as close as possible. This makes you feel like the unity, you know? I'm serious. أما الأول فأقبل فأقبل الله عليه، والثاني استحى فاستحى الله منه، والثالث أدبر ها فأدبر الله عنه. ها كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we know الأندلس is surrounded. We have in the north the Christian states, and in the south we have the الدولة الفاطمية in North Africa يعني. So he could not be the ruler. So they established this trusteeship council. As I said, قائد الشرطة or the Minister of Interior, and his name was Muhammad ibn Abi Amir. Muhammad ibn Abi Amir, and الحاجب who was the Prime Minister, جعفر ibn عثمان المصحفي, and his mother, mother of Hisham, صبيحة أو صبح البشكنجية. So now you have three people ruling. Okay, you have three people ruling the state of Al-Andalus. Muhammad ibn Amir, ibn Abi Amir, كان يمني. Okay, Muhammad ibn Abi Amir, يمني, and he always dreamt of ruling, Al-Andalus, being the ruler of Al-Andalus. So immediately he started plotting his own plots and his own plans to end up ruling the land of Al-Andalus. So the very first thing he did, he plotted for al-Musbahi, the Prime Minister al-Hajib, and he got him killed. Okay? He plotted for him and got him killed. Hisham, the mother of the Khalifa, was weak. So he just put her in the palace, Qasr al-Zahra, and he left her there. Okay? خلصي, yeah, she's weak, so he doesn't need to worry about her. He started ruling al-Andalus on behalf or under the name of Hisham. So Hisham is al-Khalifa or al-Hakim, and he is the one who is representing. Okay? So he will rule in his name. He married the daughter of Ghalib ibn Abd al-Rahman. Ghalib ibn Abd al-Rahman كان أمير الجيش. Okay? He was the general of the Andalusi armies, and that is to build relationship between him and the army. And that's the deal. Okay, any country you want to rule or you want to take over, you must have the army on your side. Okay, you must have the army on your side. Ghalib bin Abd al-Rahman, the general, found out the plot of Muhammad ibn Abi Amir. Okay, that's his father-in-law. He found out what Muhammad ibn Amir is aiming, ibn Abi Amir is aiming for the future. So when Muhammad ibn Abi Amir knew that or found out, he plotted for him and killed his father-in-law. Okay, he got rid of him. He called the head or the general of the armies in North Africa, in Maghrib, and his name was Ja'far bin Ali bin Hamdun. And he brought him so close to him. He drew him so close and he took care of him. Then perhaps he felt that he cannot control him. So he plotted for him and killed him too. Okay? And of course, every time he kills someone, he replaces him with someone connected to him. Every time he get rid of someone, he replaced that position with someone that he can rely on and he can trust. And most of the time it was from Yemeniyin in Al-Andalus, from Bani Amir. Okay? From Bani Amir. He went to Hisham. Of course, as we said, he is gradually getting to Daffat al-Hukm. He went to Hisham. And he told him, Hisham al-Khalifa, Ibn al-Hakim, the 12-year-old. He told him the ruler should be a hermit. يعني the ruler's job is to stay in his palace. And everyone does things for him. He should stay home, worship Allah, learn, make dua, stuff like that. The ruler should not be involved in politics. We do it for you. So he convinced him, and Hisham hada did not have very strong personality. Okay, and he listened and he agreed, and he did exactly as we will see in his whole life. He always did what he was told to do. Subhanallah, هذا هشام. وإحنا تكلمنا عن أبيه. We talked about his father and how strong of a person he was, and we spoke about his grandfather عبد الرحمن الناصر, and we said خلاص يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي. In the year 371, we said هذا هشام took over in 366. Okay? So these are 5 years where Muhammad ibn Abi Amir is establishing himself. محمد هذا سمى نفسه الحاجب المنصور. أول مرة in history that the prime minister take the title المنصور. Usually these names المنصور والمنتصر بالله والمستعلي بالله والمعتمد بالله كل هذه أسماء usually goes with the خليفة with the ruler. The first time that the prime minister adopts this name. So سمى حاله الحاجب the prime minister هو الحاجب usually the right hand of the خليفة. But in this case, we know Al-Hajib here is the ruler. Huh? Everything is up to him. He added to his name the title Mansur, يعني the victorious. Okay? سمى حاله أو نفسه الحاجب المنصور. First time this happens. And also added that he ordered the خطباء and the أئمة when they make دعاء in Jum'ah, in addition to making دعاء to the خليفة, they make دعاء to الحاجب المنصور. Okay? New stuff. خلص هو now, but he knows that the people will not accept. The people will not accept, عامري أو يماني to be the خليفة. خلص هما they got used to الأمويين to be the خلفاء, and they feel that they are the ones who deserve it. So he will not come, and that shows you the intelligence of this man. He did not come overnight and say, خلص I'm in charge, even though he was in charge from the first. After he got rid of المصحفي. He became in charge and got rid of the general of the army and but he did not do it, and that shows you his intelligence. Even add to that, he started engraving his name on the coins. Okay? His name started going on the coins. He built a new city. Okay? You remember in Nasser, Abdurrahman Nasser built a city. Called it Al-Zahran. Remember, it was three levels, and يعني the like we call it today downtown. That was the center of the hukm, where we said the bottom was for the employees of the state, and then the second was for the prime ministers and the elite, and then the top level was his palace. So مدينة الزهراء was in قرطبة, شمال الغربي. Here's قرطبة, So in this area here. That's where is Zahra. So هذا محمد بن أبي عامر, he wants to shift the attention of people. Okay? He wants to shift the attention of people. And he wants gradually to make people start believing. And this is how psychology works. You do something and you keep repeating it over and over. That's what they do. That's what TVs do. Okay? That's what TVs do. Perhaps that's what the academia in the West does. It's based on that. Since you are in pre-K until you finish college, they keep repeating the same thing over and over and over until you become believer of it, even if you never thought of it. Okay? That's how that's called mind engineering. Okay? That's brainwash, the real brainwash. Repeat, even in front of a computer. Something keeps popping up all the time. Until it occupies a place in your mind. It becomes part of your belief system. To the point where it becomes, you see it even though it's wrong, but you accept it. This is one of the greatest disasters of living amongst the kuffar. Is you see the munkar over and over and over, you see the haram things over and over and over, it becomes normal. This is something beyond your control. All these billboards all over the place. They want to just waste money. I went to every day, you're going to work, you see it. Every day, you're coming back from work, you see it. Khalas. That's what they do with children. Programs on TV. They choose the right moment, and that's they hit them with commercials. Over and over and over. To the point where the child will go and will request from his parents that he wants that. And he believes his life will be miserable without it. That's when he start crying and start weeping and start complaining and whining and all these things. So that's how they work. So هذا محمد بن أبي عامر played this game. So when people are completely attention to قصر الزهراء as the place of the leadership or the ruler, he went on the other side of the city, on the east side of Qurtuba, and he built his own city. Okay. وشوف what he called it. He called it الزاهرة. قصر الزاهر. Okay, almost the same. So there will be no, as they call it, cultural shock. Huh? He will not shock the people. And just the name. Very close name. Hmm? Very close. طبعا يعني also another name, قصر العامرية. And he moved exactly what was in الزاهرة or in الزهراء. Huh? In the city of الزهراء. He moved everything to the city of الزاهرة. And he built his own palace in there. In the city or مدينة الزاهرة أو العامرية. It became after some time, it became the main city in Qurtub. Qurtub is a state. Huh? Province. It became هذه الزاهرة, مدينة الزاهرة became the main city in قرطبة. And the city, يعني the capital very much you can say, هي قرطبة is the capital. But this is the center of the capital. That took 10 years. The man is very patient. Took 10 years to establish all that. In 381, he did another thing or something else that is very strange. Okay? That he designated his son to be the next Hajib. The next prime minister. Huh? So first time in history that the prime minister is inherited. The position of al-Hajib is inherited. Huh? By a king we understand. Khalifa we understand. But now the prime minister too. Huh? And perhaps many countries today took this as a model in our countries. And they do it. So you find prime ministers always come from the same city or the same family or the same village. Huh? Even يعني you might see this in the Haram. الحرم المكي دائما أئمة الحرم usually come from one place. You don't get not from the country, from one place in the country. Most of them come from a specific place. Sometimes here and there someone proves himself, he gets in. But usually mainly they come from the same place. So يعني عهد بالحجاب now the crown prime minister that position now he passed it to his son عبد الملك ابن أبي عامر وابن المنصور in 386 هذا محمد ابن أبي عامر سمى نفسه الملك الكريم خلاص he couldn't take it anymore in 386 he calls himself now a new title instead of المنصور the victorious Now his title is الملك الكريم, the honorable king. Okay, هو king, بس الخليفة bigger يعني. That's what he gonna. But at this point, it became clear that everything goes back to him, and he is the main person in الأندلس. All this and Hisham is growing. مشغول في القصر. Hisham, خليفة, growing in his palace and busy with his. With his life. He started, of course, throughout this whole thing, as we said, every time he get rid of someone, he places him with someone else. But this someone else got to give him the allegiance. And who he gonna turn to? Al-Amiriyin, his tribe. Okay? So as he did that, he added people more in power, the ministers, the leaders, the people who make decisions, the decision makers, all these people, Amiriyin. And that's why this era, this era from 366 until 399 Hijri is called the Dawla al-Amiriyya. Okay? But it's not independent of al-Khilafah al-Umawiyya. Because we said al-Khilafah al-Umawiyya in al-Andalus, limited to al-Andalus. Because Khilafah al-Umawiyya is separate than Khilafah al-Umawiyya, that Umawi dynasty that we're familiar with in the East. This actually happens way after the destruction and the collapse of al-Khilaf al-Umawiyya, during al-Khilaf al-Abbasiyya. Okay? So, and actually even Abbasiyya at this point was so weak. يعني the Khalifa al-Abbasi in Baghdad, we said he was ruling his palace. That's it. Has nothing to do. But it was important to the Ummah, regardless of who takes over or who's really in power, it was important and holy for them, important, that they have Khalifa. even if it's symbolic. Even if it's symbolic. And it played big role all the time. Huh? That they feel that there is Khalifa, huh? Even if he has no power whatsoever. And he didn't. I'm telling you, he didn't even have power over his palace. That's khalas. Huh? Something they believed in and they continued. وهذه الأمة, this Ummah really, really did not get so to the level we're in today. Huh? But when they knew that we need to get rid of something called Khalifa, that's what they did with Ataturk. Hmm? That's what they did. And look what happened after that. Yani things were bad, but got worse. So that's yani the history of the Dawla al-Amiri. This era starts called between 366 to 399, Dawla al-Amiriya, but it's part of the Khilafah al-Umawiyya. Because the Khalifa still Hisham ibn al-Hakam. Okay, the Khalifa still Umawi and Hisham ibn al-Hakam. And we're going to see many Khulafa going to come through from the Dawla al-Umawiyya or the Umawis. Huh? But they will have no power. العامريين, the يمانيين, are weak. They're not too many. So it was important for Muhammad ibn Abi Amir or al-Malik al-Karim هذا, it was very important to him to have support. And of course he's not going to bring to him or get supporters from al-Mudariyin, because it became tribal. He will not get support from al-Mudariyin or from al-Umawiyin. So he turned to al-Barb. He turned toward al-Barbar. Okay? Because these Arab tribes, and they always have competition amongst themselves, so he's not going to surround himself with other Arabs. So he turned toward al-Barbar. And he can always use that these are invaders, and these are this and that. So he got the support of al-Barbar. He started supporting them, and funding them, and bringing them closer, giving them positions, until they gave him their allegiance. So in 366, يعني very much, he was the ruler. Okay, he was the ruler of Al-Andalus until 392. From 366 until 392. You have a prime minister ruling the country, a big country, like Al-Andalus, okay? Spain and Portugal for 29 years. Okay, 29 years. The historians wonder about this person. Because all that you heard from me, you say this guy is vicious, criminal, killing all these people. Okay? But when they come to what he did on the other side, they wonder how he used to think. Let's see what he did. In his life, he غزا and he attacked the Christian states in the north 54 times. 54 times. He did not lose one battle. He continued, Because you have all these states, Christian states, they're just waiting for the chance. And we saw in the past history, in the last 200 years, exactly that's what they were doing. Every time they see some weakness here, they attack. They keep taking cities and losing it and back and forth. So it's very important to keep them alert and to show them that you're strong. So he will attack 54 times in his life. He will have al-Masaif with Shawati, and that is he will attack once in the summer and once in the winter or once in al-Rabi' in spring and once in the fall. Continuous to keep them alert. Sawaif with Shawati. One time, the kingdom of Navarre, right here, they had all these, so the result of the attack, all these people cut deal and treaties with him. Peace treaty. You don't attack us, we don't attack you. So one time, one of his ambassadors went to visit the kingdom of Navarre. And of course, these states were paying al jizya to him. They were paying the taxes to Muhammad ibn Abi Amr. So one time an ambassador go visit Navarre. He's walking, they're giving him a tour. He passes by a church. And in this church, three Muslim women. Okay? Three Muslim women. So he asked them, they said, we are prisoners. Yani, perhaps they were invading somewhere and they took them. The deal was, all Muslim prisoners come back. So that created a problem. So of course the ambassador sends to Al-Mansur. Muhammad Al-Mansur, Al-Hajib Al-Mansur, and he tells him. Immediately, he leads a huge army to Navarre by himself to invade. So when they see the army, they say, what did we do? There's a peace treaty between us. Cannot attack. He said, you guys broke the treaty. You have three Muslim women. How many Muslim women today are killed everywhere and raped? And the Muslims are watching. For three Muslim women, he brings a whole army across from Cordoba, all the way to the north, Navarre. So they said it was a behavior of isolated situation. One soldier did that and he did not listen and hear the rules or obey the rules, and we punished him, and they returned the three women to the Muslims. But this is how these people, this is perhaps the language that they understand, and as we will see later, that this is exactly the only language they understand. Another time, he invaded one of these states. So he passed through Madyak, through a strait. Okay? So the Christians, with his army, so the Christians' plan was, once he passes through the strait, we close the strait. So now he cannot come back. And khalas, we finish him. Now he's in our land. Okay? So after they did that, he thought, he kept going deeper. And the first city he came across, he occupied, and he took it as a state. And he started spreading his armies, attacking all over. And coming back with the bounties of war and with all these wars. Yeah, and he did perhaps inside here, and he took a city. They could not handle him. They could not handle him until the people in the areas went to their armies and they begged them to open the strait so he can go back to Port. This guy is, you cannot kill him and stop him. Let him go. So they came to him and they said, we're going to open the strait for you to go back. He said, no. He said, I'm having fun here. He said, I'm not going. He said, I'm planning to stay for 6 months, do my job, keep attacking, and then go back. So they kept trying to convince him until he agreed with conditions. He agreed with conditions. They said, okay, give us your conditions. One of the things he did, whenever they attack, and of course they're casualties, whoever gets killed from the Christian side, they will bring their bodies and throw it at the strait, his army. Okay? Why he did that? There are people living, it's an area, people living there. As bodies start accumulating, diseases and the smell and all that. So that's when people got fed up. So they came and he said, okay, I have conditions. Okay, first condition, you open the strait and of course you clean it. You need to get rid of all these bodies because we need to go through. They said yes. He said the second condition is to leave no Christian in that strait to live there. Yeah, and it becomes international, منطقة حيادية, neutral zone. They said, okay. The third, because he's been, attacking and collecting all these bounties of war and all these, stuff. He said, your army have to carry all these things for us to Qurtub. Your army has, your soldiers have to carry all these. These are too much stuff for us to carry. Now we want to go fast. We want to be light. So we're going to ship it with you. So your army going to carry. Here, now we're talking about Lyon. This is a huge state. We will see that's where, an area where the destruction of Lander starts. So he forces their armies to carry, all the booties of war all the way to Cordoba for him. And guess what? They agreed. They agreed. And that's when he left their land. So you wonder, this guy killing people to be in power, and this is what he does. One of the things he used to do all the time, after every battle, after every battle, the dust that accumulated on his clothes, he will collect it and keep it in a vase or a glass after every battle. And one of his will was that this bottle is put next to me in the grave. And the reason is he's hoping Allah will forgive him because of that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يجتمع على عبد غبار في سبيل الله ودخان جهنم. حديث صحيح عند الترمذي. لا يجتمع على عبد غبار في سبيل الله ودخان في من جهنم ودخان جهنم. That Allah Azza wa Jal will not combine on one person the dust that he collects from fighting fi sabilillah for the sake of Allah and the smoke of the hellfire. And if someone his life fighting fi sabilillah and striving for the sake of Allah, Allah will not throw him in the hellfire. That was his hope. That was his hope. But the issue with his battles, the issue with his battles, Islamically, they weren't done to spread Islam. Obviously, he wasn't fighting to teach the people the deen of Allah. As you see, all he was fighting with his armies, for material gains. And to show his power. Because we don't know that, he agreed with these people that Islam gonna rule or you pay the jizya and we leave you alone. La. Huwa go invade, powerful, take whatever you can and come back. He wasn't his intent, his obviously from his behavior, he was not trying to spread the deen of Allah, even though one of the gains is he kept them alert and cautious that not to mess with the Muslims' land. So he wasn't concerned about spreading the land of Al-Andalus under the Islamic ruling.
I'm sorry, I thought you said the Lord were paying jizya already.
Nah, but not everywhere. Not everywhere paying the jizya. That's why he's attacked. Because if they were paying the jizya, he would not attack. If they were paying the jizya, he would not attack. That means there is treaty between them, agreement. But not every place surrendered. So wherever he attacks wherever it's not in agreement. One of the things he did, he increased the size of Masjid Qurtuba. Masjid Qurtuba, Al-Azim. He increased the size of it to the point where he would spend a lot of money to buy the houses around the masjid so he can expand. He would offer a lot of money to the people to move out so he can spread the masjid to the point where an old woman who had a small house and a palm tree. So they tried to convince her to sell, she refused to sell. Then when they asked her what she want, she said, I want a house with a tree. I want a house with a tree. So they found her a house with a tree, that's when she gave up. And you can see, this man, as much as he did, he was fair. And he had خلاص, order from the government, you need to evict, move. That's what they do today. That's especially what they do, Sahayina, the Zionist Israelis in Palestine. That's what they do. The man inherits these trees, these olive trees, generation after generation, hundreds of years. And they come, we're going to open a highway. They cut his trees, they destroy his house, and no compensation, nothing. And the highway for who? For the Jewish settlements, for their settlements. Even the Palestinians cannot use these streets.
Palestinians have their own streets and the Jews have their own streets in Palestine. Their streets, you cannot go because you're Palestinian. Okay? And then they tell you democracy. And they tell you peace. There is no peace there. Only a naive, ahmaq, jahil, with يعني, thinking of a reptile will even think that there will ever be peace in Palestine. Naive. When you give yourself the right to take anything someone has and expect peace, will not work. No peace, as they say, no justice, no peace. It's more than that. You don't expect justice out of these people anyway, to start with. It's bigger, the issue is bigger than that. The issue is aqeedah. The Palestine issue is not land, it's aqeedah. When Netanyahu won the election, he said, finally, the Jews voted for the Torah, for the Torah. So for these people, it's aqeedah, issue of aqeedah, it's faith. Yeah, the Muslims, يعني this Palestine issue was Muslim issue, Muslim world. Then it boiled down to become Arab issue. Then they brought it down, to become the Palestinian issue. And then they, before that, they brought it to the neighboring countries. So now it's Jordan, Syria, Egypt issue. And then they brought it Palestinian issue. And then they brought it West Bank issue and Gaza issue. And suddenly West Bank and Gaza are fighting each other. Why? Palestine issue will not be resolved until it comes back to become the Muslim issue. Muslim in Pakistan, a Muslim in China, a Muslim in Bangladesh, in Russia, or in Morocco, or in Madagascar. It doesn't matter with it. It's the issue of the Muslims. That's the only way Palestine will be solved, or the issue of Palestine, and Palestine will come back. And actually, that's the only answer. That's the only solution for it to come back. All right. طيب. So he spread the masjid so big, and unfortunately, this masjid today is a church. This masjid today is a church. Still exists. Also, business. مصانع, factories, okay, production, industry was or prospered in his time. So you can see the man is balanced. The man knows exactly what he is doing. It reached a point where in his time there were so much money to the government that there were no poor people. And we saw a couple of times, this happened in Al-Andalus, okay? There were no poor people to be found. So a country can really suffice its people when it's run right. You don't need socialism, and you don't need capitalism. Country can run right when it's when the ruler cares about the people, when the people, the elite cares about the people, when the opportunities are equal. When the opportunities are equal. And don't think that the West, the opportunities are equal. Okay? Doesn't matter how much they tell you that. Okay? Actually, 40% of the wealth in America is in the pocket of 1%. 40%. So you have 1%, and then you have 80% of Americans, the middle class and the poor, and then you have the high level of middle class and the rich people, the rest. 1% owes 40%. 80% on the other side of the spectrum, in America, owes 7%. 7%. 80% of Americans. And you have from the left to the right. The left is the poorest and the right the richest. 1% on the right owns 40% of the country's wealth. 80% from the left owes 7%. 7%. The investment of this 1% is 50%. 1% of the population their stocks and controlling the market in America, 50%. The investment of this 80%, 0.5%. Yani they have, you tell me, equal opportunities. And not even socialism can solve. Okay? Actually, between the what people think, okay, and ideally, a big gap. Okay? A big gap. You ask people, what do you think the economy, like the spread of wealth in America like? What they tell you, what they think. And then if you ask them a second question, what do you think it should be like? There's a huge gap. Then there is a way bigger gap between what they think it should be, huh, or the ideal, and the reality. Alright. Confused you? That's the point. Alright. So here, under this man, there was no poverty, huh? And people, not everyone is rich, but people are comfortable, okay? People are comfortable. In his time, between 366 and 392, there were no revolutions, okay? There were no revolutions whatsoever. And we said in Andalus, to have a time or a period, no revolutions is very difficult. But in his time, he was very strong and really controlling. And this is what... Listen, Habibi. People, if you feed them, there is no point they're going to go against. If people are comfortable, and the man is not worried how he's going to make living to feed his children and himself, and he's not worried that he's going to end up on the street, that's what people want. If you can provide that as a ruler to the people, that's it. That's it. But into you coming every week and raising the prices of mahruqat, huh? And gas, and you come to raise the prices of gas in the middle of the winter, the people gonna, of course they're gonna come. They're gonna revolt. Okay? People don't ask for much. They don't ask for much. But the greed, huh? Well, even that little will not give them. Okay? One of the things that happened his time, to show you his justice, Al-Wasit, which was one of his nuwab, one of his advisors, had some issue with one of the people, normal guy, layman. So they went to the judge. The judge ruled in the favor of Al-Wasit, of the advisor. Of course, because of his position. So this layman went to Muhammad ibn Abi Amr to complain. So he came, he brought this al-wasit, and he put him next to this man. He told him, take off your clothes. Take off your sword. Yani the outside clothes. That you're so-and-so, you're the elite. And he made him sit next to this man, and he made the judge rule. So the judge ruled in the favor of the layman. Okay? So he ruled that this guy should, this wasit should be punished this and that. So the Ibn Abi Amir, Mansur, ordered that it will be doubled. Yani many folds, the punishment, more than what the judge said. So when he was asked why you did that, he said, إِنَّهُ مَا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِقُرْبَةٍ مِنَّا ولذلك زدنا عليه الحد ليعلم أن قربه منا لن يمكنه من ظلم الرعية. He said he oppressed this man because he thought we will support him, because he's close to us. And I wanted to teach him that being close to me will not give him a green light to be unfair to the people. To be unfair to the people. يعني الواسطة connections out of the window. So Al-Mansur Hada continued to rule from 366, as we said, to 392 as Al-Hajib. And of course, yani by this time, everyone knows that he's in charge. We said he dies at 392, and his son takes over, Abdul Malik ibn Al-Mansur. And he was like his father in Al-Jihad. He used to go out and fight twice or once a year. At this time, Hisham ibn al-Hakam, how old is he? too much? He's 38. Okay? He's 38 years old at this time. Okay? But still, he did not try to gain his position. He did not try to claim himself as the real ruler. Alright? Even though his grandfathers, Abd al-Rahman al-Dakhil, Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, were 25 and 28. Okay? And they ruled. That's خلاص هذا, جحش. Alright. طيب. Abd al-Malik, Abd al-Malik ibn al-Mansur rules from 392 to 399. Only 7 years. And the reason he ruled only 7 years, because in one of the battles, he got killed. Okay? He got killed. And at that point, it was the collapse of al-Dawla al-Amiriyya, and perhaps the collapse of al-Andalus. Okay? As we will see. After him, his brother took over. Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Mansur. Okay? Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Amir, al-Hajib al-Mansur. So Abd al-Malik dies after 7 years, and you can see that how the father chose the right person. And this Muhammad ibn Abi Amir, really, it's very worth it to look at his seer, his life. So his other son takes over, Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Mansur, وهذا كان فاسق, ماجن, غانن, سكير. He was wicked. He was after the dunya, alcoholic, al-mujoon, corruption, and all that. People hated him. People hated him. And he was very oppressive. His mother was the daughter of the king of Navarre. His mother. So his mother was Christian. The people could not fathom the fact that their ruler, his mother, is Christian. So that added to the whole story. But mainly because he was wicked. Okay? An alcoholic and oppressor and all that. People hated him, and added to that his mother was Christian. He tried to convince Hisham ibn al-Hakam to make him the successor or the crown crown prince. Okay? Yani if Hisham dies, he becomes a... Of course, when Lumawiyin heard that, they went crazy. They went crazy. So they plot for him, or they plotted for him. He went one time in one of his battles. These people always fought. He went in one time of his battles. The people went to the palace when he is gone. خلعوا هشام. They took هشام out of the palace. They kicked him out. خلاص يعني we don't want you the Khalifa. And they put a man in his place to become the Khalifa. His name Muhammad ibn هشام bin عبد الجبار bin عبد الرحمن الناصر. So you talk about four generations since then. And he's one of the grandkids of عبد الرحمن الناصر. They brought this man and they put him as the Khalifa. When Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Mansur came back, they plotted for him, they got him killed. That is CS. This is politics. When he came back, they plotted for him, they got him killed. And this was the end of al-Dawla al-Amiriyya, 399. And after that, as I said, everything started going downhill in al-Andalus. We will see some rising, but it's not comparable to what we had spoken of. By the death of Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Mansur, هذا العامري, as I said, everything started collapsing. Al-Andalus start getting divided. Now every state wants to be independent, because every state is very much inhabited by a certain group of people. Barbar, Mudar, Umayyin, Amiriyin, indigenous people. So everyone wanted to become independent. Someone might ask, and of course revolutions everywhere. Someone might ask,
was the death, of Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, or al-Mansur had, Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Mansur. Or because he was wicked. It's really the reason for the collapse of al-Andalus. And we have learned so far that the collapse of civilizations comes gradually, doesn't happen overnight. At the point of collapse, it's gonna happen overnight. But actually that was built over years to reach that point of the break. But it takes time. Just like building civilizations take time, collapsing of civilization takes time. And obviously it will hit a point where that's it. But how can Al-Andalus, Now we're talking about years and years of prosperity. We said how the King of England sends to Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, asking him the permission to send few students from England to study in the library of Qurtub. And how he signs, He signs the letter, خادمكم المطيع ملك إنجلترا. Your loyal servant, your obedient servant, the King of England, to Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir. Okay? How could that happen? And we talk about al-Mansur, al-Hajib al-Mansur, attacking 54 times, not losing. How could this happen? Obviously, there were things wrong going on, and covered by this great success. There were things underneath that don't seem they're happening, but actually they were making that state that seems to be so strong very weak from inside. Let's see what they are. One, التَّرَف والبذخ الشديد. Okay? Too much extravagance, too much luxury. Palaces built, painted with gold and silver. As we said, domes are made out of gold and silver mixture. All that, too much attachment to the dunya, that is a sign of failure in the future. Too much attachment to the dunya, that's a sign of failure in the future. We talked about building al-Zahra, the city of al-Zahra, and then al-Zahira. Palaces, big, all that made them so much attached to the dunya. You remember Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, his advisor, or not his advisor, he was the imam, maybe the mufti then, al-Mundir ibn Sa'id. And you remember how he always, كان قوال للحق, he always spoke his mind, and he spoke the truth, and Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, always respected his opinion. Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir, as much as taqwa and wara' he had, he built a palace, Qasr al-Zahra, and the dome of it, the roof of it, was a mixture of gold and silver. Gold and silver. So he brings al-Mundir bin Sa'id and he asks him about his opinion. Okay? So al-Mundir bin Sa'id says while he's crying, he says, مَا ضَمَنْتُ الشَّيْطَانِ يبلغ منك هذا المبلغ مع ما آتاك الله من نعمة وفضلك على كثير من عباده تفضيلا حتى ينزلك منازل الكافرين. He said, I never imagined that the shaitan will have his way with you to the point where after what Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you with, the shaitan will take you to the level of the disbelievers. He didn't tell him you're disbeliever. To the level of the disbeliever. To behave like the disbelievers. فقال عبد الرحمن انظر ما تقول. Watch out. كيف أنزلني الشيطان منازل الكافرين. How did the shaitan manage to take me to the level of the kuffar? فقال المنذر أليس الله يقول ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون. Then he brings him a دليل from the Quran, the book of Allah. And if we wanted the people to be one ummah, one group, لا حق ولا باطل, all together, yalla mix. we would have made for those who disbelieve in Allah, for their homes, the ceiling out of silver. And we would have given so much to the disbelievers that their ceilings, their roofs will be silver. So you're doing the same thing. But Allah didn't want. Allah says, if we wanted, we would have. But Allah didn't give them. So He tells him, hey, Allah didn't want it for them and you wanted it for yourself. Allah didn't allow it for people and you allowed it for yourself. Okay? And we said, هذا عبد الرحمن. Okay? كان وقاف عند الحق. He used to listen. So immediately he orders for the ceiling out of gold and silver to be brought down. To be brought down. And he rebuilt it out of mud. But time passes. And then it comes back. And the palaces come back. And the gold comes back. And the silver comes back. So they were so much indulged in the dunya. And in luxury and extravagance. وهذا one of the main reasons of destruction. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Allah says, when we want to destroy a nation, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. أَمَرْنَا, اختلف أهل العلم في تفسيرها. Some of the ulama said, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا بِالطَّاعَةِ. We ordered that those who indulge in luxuries amongst these people who live in this state, we ordered them to obey and they disobeyed. So they deserved the wrath of Allah. فَأَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا يعني أَمَرْنَاهُمْ بِالطَّاعَةِ. We ordered them to obey, they disobeyed, they got punished. وبعضهم قال أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. طبعا في قراءة شاذة. قراءة شاذة في القراءات. قالوا أمرنا مترفي. أمرنا مترفي. أمرنا يعني we made them, we gave them sultan, we gave them power. We gave the rich people and the luxurious people and the people with too much money, we gave them the power. فدمرنا. Who are the rich people, what are they going to do with their money? فسق ومجون. Who are going to build masajid with it? لا, the more money, you see, أهل الفساد and the people, the corrupted people, mainly are the rich people. Yes, there are good people amongst them, but we're talking in general. Usually the rich people are the ones, their children, driving cars and showing off and alcohol and all that. Please. ففي رواية شاهدة أمرنا مترفيها. وفي أمرنا مترفيها قالوا معنى كثرنا مترفيها. كثرنا مترفيها. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث, خير المال حمكم الله, خير المال فرس مأمورة وسكة مأبورة. يعني the best wealth, فرس أو مهرة أو مهرة مأمورة. مأمورة يعني كثيرة النسل, يعني ولادة, يعني gives many, have many children, يعني many, gives many birth. وسكة مأبورة. سكة المأبورة يعني a straight line of palm trees. Okay? والمأبور, you know, التأبير يعني like pollinations and all that. But the point is, قالوا based on this, فمعنى أمرنا مترفيها يعني كثرناهم. We made too many of them. We made too many people indulge in the dunya and very busy, with متاع الدنيا. This guy sees, he bought a car for 200,000, he doesn't need a car, he goes buy another, a car for 300,000. This guy buy 400,000, this guy, That's what the corruption comes from, when people compete in the dunya. And that was happening, with all this time of prosperity in Al-Andalus, at the same time on the other side this was happening. Another thing, that one of the reasons for the collapse, توسيد الأمر لغير أهله. When you put people, the wrong people, in the wrong position. When you give positions to the wrong people, that's what happens. And we saw how Al-Hakam, bin Abd al-Rahman bin al-Nasir, left the Khilafah to his son, Hisham. and he was 12 years old. That was the main reason for the destruction of الخلافة الأموية in الأندلس. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة. Huh? When the amana is lost, then expect the hour, the day of judgment. So they asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, huh? وكيف إضاعتها يا رسول الله? How is the trust lost? He said, إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر. Huh? When positions are being given to the wrong people who are not qualified, then expect the day of judgment. Allah, he's my relative, take over. Oh, he's my friend, take over. He's my this, he's, and he's not qualified. If your relative is qualified, it's a different story. Well, Umar radiallahu anhu Farooq did not hire any of his fam. Did not give positions to any of his fam. Uthman did, radiallahu anhu. But obviously, he gave it to people who qualified. Okay, so just giving the position is not the issue. The issue is, are you giving it to a qualified person or disqualified or unqualified? Okay, very important. That's what happened. There was a Russian spy. Hmm? They caught him here. So when they interviewed him, they asked him, هو طبعا هو Russian spy in Russia for the US. And he holds very high position. So when they caught him, KGB I guess, they asked him, what did you do? What information you passed to the American? He said nothing. He said nothing. He said, so what did you do? He said, every time I have candidates for a position, important position, I chose the worst. Yes. Who a country spies on another country for what reason? Because wants this country to be weak. They want information so they can encounter or counter this country. He said, the only thing I used to do, the order came to me, that every time I have few candidates for an important position, I'll choose the worst. That's a perfect crime. Put the people in the wrong position, don't worry about the consequence. الدولة العامرية also was part of the collapse. And the reason for that is we saw they used to fight just for the sake of money. Back to the same issue, sake of the dunya. Mashi? They never fought to raise the word of Allah and to spread the deen and to teach the people Islam and to make da'wah. La. They fought to make money. So that the soldiers or the armies of this of Al-Andalus developed that feeling that we're fighting just to make money. Huh? We're just like mercenaries. That's all they did it. He did not develop in them how we're fighting for to raise the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it was as a result it will be easy to invade them. Okay. What happens after that? Muhammad ibn Hisham ibn Abdul Jabbar ibn Abdul Rahman al-Nasir takes over. As we said, Abdul Rahman al-Nasir had died. So they brought this, the grandson of Abdul Rahman al-Nasir. And remember when they plotted and they killed the guy? They kicked Hisham. So this guy was called al-Mahdi. Okay? And he was a young man. He did not have any experience. He did not know what to do. The very first thing he started doing, he started killing al-Amiriyin. Okay? He started killing al-Amiriyin. And of course, you will know what that will lead to in the future. He also killed al-Barbar. Remember, al-Barbar became united with Muhammad ibn Abi Amir. He started killing al-Amiriyin, killing al-Barbar. Of course, that excited the feelings of people against him. Al-Barbar went north. Okay? The Barbar went north. And they brought a man called Sulaiman ibn al-Hakam. Sulaiman hada, the brother of Hisham. Hisham, the weak guy. We said 38 years and he doesn't do anything. They brought his brother, Sulaiman ibn al-Hakam ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir. And they put him as the Khalifa. They put him as the Khalifa. So now you have two rulers of Al-Andalus. You have Sulaiman ibn al-Hakam on one side. And you have هذا محمد ابن هشام, the grandson of Abd al-Rahman al-Nasir. Now they're both fighting each other. Now Al-Mahdi, yeah. So Sulaiman, that they brought from the north, the Barbar went, when this guy Muhammad al-Mahdi started killing them, they went, they brought him. But they are with the Barbar weak. Him, Sulaiman, and al-Barbar are not very strong to fight Muhammad ibn Hisham, al-Mahdi. So what they do? They go to Malik Qashtal, the king of Castile, and they ask him to help. They ask him to help them. Of course, he's gonna help them, but مش عشان سواد عيونهم يعني. Not as a favor يعني. He's very humanitarian, لا, هو he gonna help him with his own conditions. And at that time there was a war. This was all Lyon. And then Qishtala revolted against Lyon, so it became independent state. So there was really clashes between Qishtala and Lyon. So they go and they seek help, Sulaiman and Barbar, they seek help from the king of Qishtala. A big battle happens between Al-Mahdi and Sulaiman al-Hakam with the Barbar and the kingdom of Castilla. And of course, obviously, in 400 Hijri, Sulaiman hada is victorious. And he becomes the Khalifa, and al-Mahdi is gone. Of course, he called himself al-Musta'in Billah. وما كان مستعينا بالله. وكان مستعين بقشتال, بملك قشتال. المستعين بالله, the dependent on Allah, he calls himself. هذا سليمان ابن الحكم. Of course, قشتالة was waiting the right time to attack the Muslim land. In the coming period between 399 and 422, there will be 13 Khalifa in Landers. One after another, killing each other. From 399 to 422, there will be 13 Khalifa. Hisham ibn al-Hakam, then al-Mahdi, then Sulaiman, and in 22 years you got 13. Al-Mahdi, after he was defeated by Sulaiman, he runs away to when Tartusha. يعني he runs in the north, في الشمال, to Tartusha. Okay. He runs to Tartusha. It's Tartusa, in Spanish. There he meets a man from Bani Amr. اسمه الفتى واضح. Okay, who كان واضح جدا. He meets a man from Bani Amr, who ruled, remember, from 366 to 399. He meets the الفتى واضح. هذا الفتى واضح convinced المهدي to attack. He convinced المهدي that we need to gain back. طب هذا المهدي, he is the same person, when he became the Khalifa, he killed the Amiriyin. And Fatah واضح Amiri. But because of the love of position, he didn't see that. But هذا الفتح واضح, he needs someone Umawi to fight under his name so he can gain supporters. So he convinced al-Mahdi that he will. They need to go back and get back his Khilafa. And يعني, he asked him to give him, to make him a minister or something after. And of course he agreed. So where they go? They're not powerful enough. They go to Malik Barcelona. Ya Habib. Not Messi. Okay? Malik Barcelona. And Aragon. So now you have Sulaiman with the Barber, with the king of Qishtala or Castilla. and you have al-Mahdi with al-Fatah Wadih and the king of Aragon, huh? Or Barcelona, you see Aragon here,
Catalonia, okay? So now you have two groups of Muslims seeking assistance, support from Christian states, huh? Who are more powerful than them, and they bring in the men to fight each other. Amir Barcelona agreed to help, but with his conditions. What's his conditions? They said, for every day they fight with he fights with them, they need to give him 100 golden dinar. And every day they have to give each soldier 1 golden dinar. طبعاً now everyone wants to fight. Okay, so the Christians now started coming from everywhere to fight for 1 gold dinar. That's too much money for one day. Huh? So you're talking about people who are savage at that time. Huh? Third, any booties of war, the bounties of war they're going to get, all will go to the king of Barcelona. He gets everything. He gets everything. And fourth, he will take the city of Salem. Huh? Which is right here, somewhere here. Okay? So he's going to take a city from the Muslims. They're going to give him a piece of land. طبعاً المهدي agreed. He agreed to all that. So there was a great battle between al-Mahdi, al-Fatah Wadih, and the king of Barcelona, and the other side, Sulaiman and Barbar, and the king of Castilla. And al-Mahdi won with Barcelona, and Sulaiman ran away, and al-Mahdi became the king all over again, and he gave all, he fulfilled all the promises. Good man, he fulfilled all the promises to the king of Barcelona. Obviously, al-Fatah Wadih, when Mahdi became the Khalifa, he got, he took over, and he kicked him out, he kicked al-Mahdi out. And al-Fatah Wadih became in charge now. So the king of al-Andalus, or the ruler, is al-Fatah Wadih. The people did not like that. How could Amiri rule? Huh? So they go north and they bring Hisham. Remember Hisham bin al-Hakam, the one they kicked out, the weak guy? They go and they bring him to become the Khalifa. Again, he was like a toy in their hand. And 33 years he was a toy. And now they go and they bring him back. So they offered him to become the Khalifa. He agreed. What are you going to lose? طيب سليمان he's still in there. They did not kill him. Okay? That's the guy who was just defeated with Castilla. So what he gonna do? He calls the king of Castilla again. Okay? Of course, هو الفتى واضح. Remember? He takes over. And then they go and they bring Hisham and they put him the Khalifa because they're not going to accept Amir Khalifa. So Fatah Wadih was done then. Okay? So Sulaiman goes and contacts Sulaiman ibn Ish, ibn al-Hakam. He contacts the king of Castilla. Okay? Or actually Sulaiman. So Sulaiman contacts the king. Who's the ruler now? Hisham. So that Sulaiman contacts the king of Castilla, asking him to help him fight Hisham, so he can go back to the rule. So the king of Castilla contacts Hisham. He said, Sulaiman wants me to help him, and I really don't want to help him, but what will you give me if I don't help him? So again, you have Hisham the ruler. Sulaiman goes to Castilla, and ask him to help him to fight Hisham. So the king of Castilla sent to Hisham, the ruler, and he tells him, Sulaiman wants me to fight you. What would you give me if I don't help him? Huh? So look what Hisham, remember the weak guy? He says, so he gives him all the northern fortresses of al-Andalus. كل الحصون. الشمالية, he gives it to. So these castles and fortresses that protected the northern part of Al-Andalus, he gives it to the king of Castile. Okay? Now this Qishtala was very small part of Leon. And then after all, these started spreading. Okay?
After that, all the Christian states unite together. All the Christian states. And we will see how they got, after fighting each other, we will see how they got united. All these things you heard happen in 3 years. All happened in 3 years. In 403 Hijri, Hisham with al-Barbar attacked Qurtub. Remember Hisham? Sulaiman? Okay? Sulaiman, who asked the king of Castile and refused to help him. He attacks with a group of Barbar, attack Qurtuba. They kill people, they rape women. These are Muslims. But now it's not about Islam, it's all about the dunya. And these people were never into Islam anyway. Start raping women, robbing people, this. Huh? And they reach Hisham. And they kill him. Sulaiman with the Barbar get to Hisham and they kill him. Sulaiman and Hisham are brothers. Sulaiman and Hisham, ikhwa. وهذه الدنيا. Huh? بطل يفرق بين الأخ وأخي. He gets there and he kills his brother. And all of them are the children of Al-Hakim bin Abd al-Rahman al-Nasr. That great Muslim ruler. The great Muslim Khalifa. But it's all about putting people, the wrong people in power. Sulaiman had a rules from 403 to 407. And his main army from Al-Barbar. Okay? In 407, Al-Barbar makes their own forces. And they seek assistance from the Barbar in North Africa. Okay? So they become very powerful in there. And they attack Sulaiman and they kill him. Okay? They attack Sulaiman and they kill him. So in 407, a man from amongst the Barbar becomes the Khalifa in Al-Andalus. Or the ruler of Al-Andalus. His name is Ali bin Hammud. Ali bin Hammud. And he called himself Al-Nasr Billah. Nasr lillah. At this point, Qurtuba starts settling down a little bit. Hada Ali bin Hammud put his brother Al-Qasim bin Hammud as his crown prince. Okay? And he put him on Ishbilia, right here. Okay? So he put him the governor of Ishbilia and his crown prince. طبعاً هذا بربا. العامريون didn't like that. العامريون didn't like that. العامريون هم في بلنسيا here. They didn't like that Barbary now is ruling. And that is when the deen is aside and it all becomes racial. So what they do, and of course they don't want a Barbary to be the ruler, they start looking for another Umawi to go bring him and put him the Khalif. So they go and they look, they find a man named Abd al-Rahman bin Muhammad bin Abdullah, one of the grandson of al-Nasr, Abd al-Rahman al-Nasr. And they give him the allegiance and they put him as the Khalifa and they call him al-Murtadi Billah. They take him to fight Ali bin Hammud in Qurtub. They fight each other, Ali bin Hammud get killed, al-Murtadi Billah get killed. Naji? Everyone gets killed. And then they brought another man after another man, and that's what I said, the period of 22 years, you have 13 rulers over Al-Andalus, in a period of 22 years. At this time, everyone was sick of it. Especially the ulama, and the people who stayed away from politics, but they're influential, they didn't get involved. They got sick of it, they put their foot down, they get together, they establish Shura Council, okay, and they say we're gonna rule the country until there is someone who's worthy. And they put in charge of them a man of name, one of the ulama, Abu al-Hazm bin Jahur. He continued, this Shura Council continued to rule for 3 years, 1 to 3 years, okay, But actually this council only control Qurtub. The rest of Al-Andalus is divided. Everyone, huh? Every group its own, has its own government, and that leads to start of an era in Tariq Al-Andalus, huh? An era, as we will see, will be called Duwailat Al-Tawaif or Muluk Al-Tawaif. Tawaif here, Taifa, tribals, yeah. Every group of people, huh? Those are Yemeniyin in one area, in Valencia. Those are this in one area. Huh? Here, yeah. This is little map about this era, Muluk al-Tawaif. Each group here you see, Bani Hammud, Bani Samarih, Banu Amir, Banu al-Qasim. Each one is a separate state. Has its own government, its own rulers, its own ambassadors, its own ministers. Huh? Look. How small. Okay? Banu Barzal. Yeah, that's where it ends up divided. All these are divided into three major states. Banu Abbad took Ishbilia. And they are originally indigenous people, Andalusian. Banu Ziri akhadu Ghirnata. Huh? They took Ghirnata. Banu Ziri right here. Banu Jahur akhadu Qurtuba. Banu al-Aftas, huh? Those are Barbar, went in the west of Al-Andalus, Patliyos. Banu Dinnun, they're Barbar too, they took Tulaytila, huh? And whatever is north of that. Banu Amir took Valencia, Yemeniyin. And Banu Hud took Saraqasta, Shemal al-Sharq, right here. Okay, so those are the main seven states, huh? Seven countries that Al-Andalus ended up divided into. We said in the beginning that the size of Al-Andalus, huh, is 600,000 square kilometers. Okay? In the beginning. 25% of this was under the Christian. The Christians were controlling 25%. So out of 600, you're left with 450,000 square kilometers. Yani that's three times the size of Florida. You guys know where Florida? Okay? Three times the size of Florida, that is the size of Al-Andalus. Okay? And it got divided into 22 countries. Very close number to the Arab world. Hmm? 22 countries. Yani to take Florida and divide it into seven countries. That's what happened there. A land the size, huh, three times the size of Florida, is divided into 22 countries. And when I say countries, has its own army, has its own governments, own rulers. That's the love. And yeah, you wish if it stops there. طيب يلا كل Muslim countries and together, huh? The Arab world, يلا, huh? Brothers, huh? لا. These people stop fighting each other now. Well, each country wants to spread. You will see that. Crazy stuff. So all this happened in 50 to 60 years. Huh? After that glorious age. Okay? So what happened after that? That's what we will talk about next time, inshallah. What happened in this era? Huh? Al-Muluk al-Tawaif. We will see what happens. Huh? And very soon we will start seeing involvement from North Africa, huh? Inshallah.